My dear friends in Christ, if I were to try to summarize the life of Larry Little for the 30 plus years that I have known him at any rate, and we're told you can only choose one word, think about that. What word would you use, those who knew him well? Well, one word that comes to my mind is rosary. Larry led the rosary for years here before Mass, prayed the rosary very devoutly, made rosaries, and I can still see him and Jack Rawley leading the procession through Riverfront Park on the 13th of the month for many years. So Larry was very devoted to the rosary. And I would like to read to you the 15 promises given by our Blessed Mother for those who are devout in the recitation of the Holy Rosary. Now, these are contained in the wonderful book, the small book written by St. Louis Marie de Montfort called The Secret of the Rosary. And I'm sure most of you, and maybe even all of you, at least adults, have read this wonderful book. But it is good to review them. So here we go, the 15 promises for those who faithfully pray the rosary. Number one, to all those who shall pray my rosary devoutly, I promise my special protection and great graces. Two, those who shall persevere in the recitation of my rosary will receive some special grace. Number three, the rosary will be a very powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, deliver from sin, and dispel heresy. Number four, the rosary will make virtue and good works flourish and will obtain for souls the most abundant divine mercies. It will draw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities and will lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. Number five, those who trust themselves to me through the rosary will not perish. Number six, whosoever recites my rosary devoutly, reflecting on the mysteries, shall never be overwhelmed by misfortune. He will not experience the anger of God, nor will he perish by an unprovided death. The sinner will be converted. The just will persevere in grace and merit eternal life. Those truly devoted to my rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Number eight, those who are faithful to recite my rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces and will share in the merits of the blessed. Number nine, I will deliver promptly from purgatory souls devoted to my rosary. Number 10, true children of my rosary will enjoy great glory in heaven. 11, what you ask through my rosary, you shall obtain. 12, to those who propagate my rosary, I promise aid in all their necessities. 13, I have obtained from my son that all the members of the rosary confraternity shall have as their intercessors in life and in death the entire celestial court. 14. Those who recite my rosary faithfully are my beloved children, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And 15. Devotion to my rosary is a special sign of predestination. The 15 promises of our Blessed Mother for those who recite faithfully and are devout in reciting the Holy Rosary. Who, in reading through these, would not want to pray the Rosary every day and to pray it as well as we can? So this is what I thought of when I first heard of the death of Larry. Of course, he was failing for the past few weeks at any rate, and really over the past year, but very faithful to the Rosary. And what a beautiful way to spend one's life, a life of 90 years, and spending the last 30 or so years going to daily Mass, saying the rosary every day, reciting the rosary devoutly, making rosaries, being an usher here at the church, a member of the confraternity of Mary Immaculate Queen, indeed the chairman of the confraternity here at the Mount for a number of years. In other words, his whole life was centered in his faith. And if we believe in eternity, we believe in the future life, would we not want to spend, especially retirees, those whose children have grown up and gone their way and now have more time? Would you not want to spend that time centered in the practice of your Catholic faith? Larry is certainly a very good example to all of us of doing just that, of taking his faith and putting it into practice. Oh, we know what the church teaches. We know what our catechism teaches. We know what Holy Scripture says. We know there's a future life. We know the four last things. The hard part is when it comes to living it, putting it into practice in our daily lives. And if we truly believe in eternity, and that our place in eternity will be determined by how we live, would we not want to do everything possible to serve God, to love Him, to practice our faith, and to use the time, really, the short time that we have on this earth well? 90 years seems like a long time. Compared to eternity, it's very short. All of us have a little bit of time in this world. How do we use it? How will we use the time that remains? We should remind ourselves that every day, you wake up in the morning, another day. Every day, we are one day closer to our death. One day closer to eternity. That's not a morbid thought, that's reality. That is acknowledging the truth so that we can live by it. Larry is a wonderful example of that. And we have to be careful. Priests have to be careful. It really is a great joy to be able to lay to rest someone who lived his faith so devoutly, so seriously, was such a good example. But we have to be careful because we know that the judgments of God are different from the judgments of men. We have to be careful that we don't think, oh, he or she lived such a good life, they probably don't need our prayers. They probably went straight to heaven, or if they passed through purgatory at all, it was just real brief. We have to be careful because we do not know the judgments of God. And if you cherished the friendship of Larry Little, then you will be sure to pray for him, the repose of his soul. And remember this, when we pray for souls in purgatory who are already in heaven, those prayers aren't wasted. Our Blessed Mother will take the effect of those prayers and give those graces to someone else in purgatory who is in need of them. So let us practice this charity. Remember the repose of the soul of Larry Little in your prayers, in your good works. And it is perhaps providential that we have this funeral in November, the month of the Holy Souls, and in such close proximity to All Souls Day, in order that we might be reminded of the importance of praying for the souls in purgatory. Think about this. Before Vatican II, before the Novus Ordo Missae, there were thousands upon thousands of masses every day offered for the souls in purgatory. How many are there today? Far less. How many people even believe in purgatory, much less pray for the souls detained there? And let us have a Catholic view of purgatory. We know that Protestants have a difficulty understanding this Catholic doctrine and consequently, by and large, reject it. They think, well, how could that be? God is a good and loving God. When someone dies who is in the grace of God, he goes straight to heaven. They don't have that idea of a place of purification. And it is important for us to understand that not only is purgatory a place of purification and preparation for heaven, but it is a creation of the mercy of God. And what I mean by that is, if there were no purgatory, if there were only heaven and hell, how many souls would go to heaven? St. John in the Apocalypse says, "Nothing defiled shall enter the presence of God." If we understand who God is, holiness itself, the Catechism tells us God is all holy. If God is so far above us, so holy, sanctity itself, we know that even the vast majority of those who strive to live a good Catholic life die with perhaps some venial sin on the soul, or the remains, the temporal punishment of forgiven sin, whether mortal or venial. And understanding that, we will realize that purgatory is a merciful creation of God to give us the opportunity to be able to be admitted into his presence, to be purified, to be made worthy of the beatific vision. And there are many souls in purgatory for whom no one prays. Yes, Larry has many friends and fellow parishioners who certainly remember him, but how many souls in purgatory are there, especially since the heresies of Vatican II, when so many Catholics just gave up their belief in purgatory and everybody goes to heaven and so forth? How many souls are languishing there who have no one to pray for them? Let us then reflect today during this funeral on the importance of that spiritual work of mercy to pray for the souls in purgatory. There are a number of books on purgatory. Most of you are familiar with the big, thick one by Father Shoup, simply called Purgatory, explained from the lives of the saints and their visions and so forth and their teachings. But there's another small book called Read Me or Rue It by the well-known author who takes the pen name EDM. And he tells an interesting story in that book. This is back in the days when there were no automobiles, so travel was by stagecoach. And there were several priests who were going to Rome in Italy, and they had to go over the Apennine Mountains. And they had to go on a road that was very often infested with bandits. And they had been entrusted with a large sum of money to deliver to the Pope. So here they were traveling by stagecoach, and they said to themselves, since it was going to be perilous traveling this particular road, let us pray for the souls in purgatory. And so they decided every hour to stop what they were doing and to recite the De Profundis, which is Psalm 129, which you pray every day in the devotions called the Daily Thoughts and Prayers for Our Beloved Dead. They thought, well, we'll pray this psalm every hour on the hour. And so they did. Well, they got to one point in the road, and all of a sudden, all these bandits appeared out of the woods, and the driver of the stagecoach lashes the horses into a furious gallop, gave the alarm, and they saw these men raise their rifles and pointed at them, and nothing happened. And they kept going, and finally, after they were past the danger, the driver of the stagecoach says, I don't understand what happened. We were dead. There they were with all their rifles. Well, one of those priests ended up being assigned to stay in Rome, and he was assigned as a chaplain of a jail. And quite a few years later, he was going to these inmates in the jail to instruct them, to bring them the sacraments, to strive to bring them to repentance and so forth. And he met a man who had been resisting any administrations from a priest. And so he befriended this man and began to talk to him and just talked about stories. He said, you know, one day, quite a few years ago, I was coming to Rome with a group of priests, and he went through the story. And the man's jaw dropped, and he said, I was the leader of that band of men. And we couldn't figure out why our rifles were not firing. We pulled the trigger, we pointed them, they were loaded. We couldn't figure out what was happening. Well, it was the poor souls for whom those priests in the carriage had been praying who interceded for them in their hour of need. Now, of course, normally when we think of the holy souls, we don't think of praying to them to pray for us, but they certainly can help those who pray for them, those who offer sacrifices for them, receive the sacraments for them, gain indulgences. They will be forever grateful to those who help them to be released from purgatory sooner than they otherwise would have been. So let us make it our business, not just during the month of November, but all year long, to remember the poor souls in purgatory, those whom we have known in this life and loved, and those that we never met, but perhaps for whom no one prays. And let us remember them. So we are grateful to Larry for his example of how to live the Catholic faith. But let us not forget him and all of the poor souls in our prayers. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.